Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for May 4th. May the 4th be with you, 2025. Jen, what's up?
I just wanted to check in today just to kind of get to like remember what it is to make an income to try to ask for an income, whatever it is. So basically, let me to cut to the chase, just if I could get some coaching on so last year I worked on a big project, and there's some more. I've basically continued to work very part-time, but very importantly still on the project, but not like that wasn't really part of the original deal. We're in a situation where we don't have extra money for this project, at least at this point. But I'm basically kind of being asked to fill in for a particular role that no one trusts the person that's doing it, and they want me to do it. And so I think I want to just say, like, I want to ask for a weekly fee for that. Like, obviously the person that's not going to be doing it was gonna get paid. And of course, like, I mean, I'm saying this out loud. Of course, like, that's not like that should not be an issue, but I just know that there's no money. Like, I just know that, like, and so it's like a weird thing to be like, I'm gonna ask for this weekly rate that I'm not going to receive right away, or but I just want to tack it on to the I am still owed some of my fee to begin with. I mean, like, I'm it, this is just it, this is just independent cinema. And it's, it's a project I love and I'm very into, and I would do it. I do feel like I can feel resentment of like how little I've been paid so far on the movie, that it's like I think it's just like I need to ask for it, and I don't even think the answer will be no. It's just gonna be like, but I do feel, I guess I feel weird asking for something I know I can't even get right now.
So you feel weird asking for something you know you're not gonna like receive as
Receive right away.
in your
Yes.
bank account
Yeah.
at the moment. It'll be deferred pay, but later down the line
Yeah.
the rest of what you're owed.
Presumably, yes.
Right. So let me ask you, so we know how you feel now about making this ask. But how would you feel after doing this new part of the job without getting any money for it?
Oh, I mean, I would just be the martyr. I mean, I would just be like, well, like, so that, I mean, it's just something that I have probably done in the past, so it's comfortable, and so I would be resentful. Yes, I'd be the resentful martyr. Yes.
All martyrs are resentful. There
Yeah.
are no martyrs that are like, yay. No. That's the end result of martyrdom.
So I mean, I'd be like, I would be resentful. I can already feel that I am. And so, yeah, it's like, I mean, I guess it's like the people that are working on the project still, for they have at least some sort of back end kind of thing, and I don't really for this project. So it's like, I don't have a stake in the, I mean, I do, but not officially, So I guess yes, I'm resentful in that way, because I feel like as like an actor or as like a writer director, like I have a stake in a project, because like whatever I'm getting paid, if it was ever to do something, I do have a stake in the project. I don't in this
With
situation.
it. So why do you want to take this on? This extra.
Why? Because I can do it. I'm already doing part of it anyway. because it's in my wheelhouse, the sound and music part. And so I just kind of feel like being an advocate. Like, I mean, I'm here to get coaching to be an advocate for myself and be like, I'm going to ask for money for the whole gambit of this or whatever. I can't say that word. But like if I'm replacing this other role, I should have asked for the money to do the sound and music too, but but like let me just start tomorrow fresh.
So you're doing the sound and music for free?
No, I mean I'm just like
Oh, for deferred
overseeing.
pay, right? Okay. Here's, I'm definitely going to give you coaching on this because I definitely think you should do it. But here's the reason. So it goes beyond fairness. Fairness is a component, you know, but really what that money is for, even if it's deferred, what that money is for, the agreement that there's monetary value in investing in your services, is it preserves your love for the project and it preserves your relationships attached to this project. See, that's really what's at jeopardy if you, because most people think, oh, well, I'll just do it for free because I want to have the relationships. But that's actually going to ruin the relationships because by the end of it, you're going to just feel like, fuck you, and I'm not going to talk about this project anymore because I'm tired and bitter. But the money is actually so that you will be excited about the project and keep these relationships for the future. That's what it's for. And so I would put it in writing. I would draw up a little agreement and say, okay, I'm willing to take on this and describe the scope. I'm willing to do this for this much as a weekly thing, in addition to what I'm getting paid for this stuff. I understand that this payment will be deferred, but I will, you know, keep track, as will you. And that's what I'm willing to do if you'd like to go forward. And if they say no, then what? Because you always have to know what you're going to do if they say no. I'm not talking about negotiating. I'm talking about just no, we're not
I
going to
mean, they're not going to say no.
pay. Okay.
So I guess I don't have anything to lose. But I mean, yeah, okay, let's just talk. If they said, no, you should be just doing this because you're a part of this project, then what would I say? I'd be mad. I don't know. What would I say? Like, I think you should find somebody else.
Right?
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I would, but
Because what would they do if you died tomorrow?
well, they would find somebody. But like, I guess I would feel really hurt, though.
Yeah. I'm picking at this so that everybody listening can see the intricacies of this because sometimes we actually, well, I'm just not going to ask for the money because there's a tiny little chance, in this case, not so much, but sometimes there's a chance they'll say no, and then that would be so hurtful. So to avoid the hurt, I won't ask for the money. It's like there's all these little things that go on that aren't sometimes even in the consciousness of why women, especially, don't ask for the money.
I mean, I was thinking about that. I was like, I definitely have those like women patriarchy thoughts of like, well, they should just recognize my contribution to the
Wouldn't that be nice? They should.
And they do. They're very thankful
Or recognize it with
for all
money.
that time, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll say no. I guess it's just sort of, I'll just, yeah, I guess I'll just add it to the, I'll drop something, a contract or something, and just like add it to the tab. And it's just at least, it's too, it's so I don't, I mean, it's a lot has to do with respect for myself. Like, It's so I don't lose respect for myself too.
Yeah.
Or keep
Resentment,
people
respect,
just doing
love for the project. So let me just dig. This is very fascinating. This is such a good example. So let me dig a little further. So you said, I don't think they'll say no. But what might they think of you?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think on the surface they would completely understand, and I think it's actually what would I think of myself is the what's coming up for me. It's like, well, then I'm not like really dedicated. Like I'm not really doing this for the love. And so yeah, it's interesting because I don't think they would think badly of me. Maybe I would think bad of myself.
So it's fascinating. Remember they did that remake of Baywatch? They did it as a movie with Zac Efron and other people. Baywatch.
I mean, I don't remember it, but yeah, I mean, I
They
know you're
did.
talking the
Yeah,
remake.
like who remembers it? I don't even remember it. But yes, they did it. So they actually contacted Pamela Anderson. She was talking about this on an interview. They contacted her and said, "Oh my God, it would be so amazing to have you in it. Like how iconic, you're just such a part. We just want to have you in it." And they wanted her to do it for free for the love of Baywatch. And she was
Really?
like, "No, but you, yeah." She said,
That's
"No, but you could pay me to do it." They just wanted her to do it for free because of the love of it. So this is fascinating because this is about art and business. And a lot of times it's like, do it for the art. You should do it because you love the project. You should do it because you should be part of the team. Just the artists, the support, the independent cinema. You're not supporting it if you're asking for money for the time that you're going to spend doing something you hadn't planned on doing in the first place. So this is where the separation needs to occur. Because Pamela is like, I would love to do it, but I'm not just going to do it for the art of it. Pay me, because there's stuff involved with her getting in a bathing suit again. Are you kidding me? Yeah. So you are already making choices to participate in this project because of the art of it. But the business side can also, you can make decisions because of the business side too. And that doesn't take away from the thing. And that is a very like gaslighty sort of thing when you're like doing something, and someone asks you to do something else and you say no, or you say, okay, if you pay me. And they're like, oh my gosh. Well, I thought your heart was in it. I thought like all of what you've already done is like discounted because this one thing you didn't want to do beyond. And that's how scope creep happens, because they play upon this. Well, if you really, it's like, no, I'm doing all this stuff already because of that. This is my contribution on the art part. This is what I need for more business part. Yeah. So when you, but when you start to sort of see that for yourself of like, oh yeah, no, this is the art heart part. This is the business and the money part. And I agree, they probably won't say no.
I mean, I think I will tell you what's hard is that the two people like above me also have never gotten paid. I mean, it's the no one's gotten their fee because but they're in the more like creative side of things that they don't I mean, they put the movie together, so it's like they haven't got so it's sort of like I feel like I'm talking to people that ha are the they're not the ultimate martyrs because at the end of the day they'll own the film, but like but it's like it's hard to have a negotiation when like they haven't been paid either. But I don't know if that
But you're all working for deferred paid.
I mean I think no most people not I mean they should have been paid but they haven't been. It's I know it's crazy.
Well, you're not asking them to cut you a check for $1,000 today. You're
I guess I
deferring.
see what you're saying. Yes, you're right. Like, I am asking for it to be deferred, just as Sarah's is. Yes.
And you have deferred a little bit of what you
I have, well, I mean,
expected to get.
not intentionally, but that's the result of it.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the money ran out, and they always pay the people who have their heart in it the most last.
Yeah. Is that true, Christine?
Yes, because the people who are like, I don't know, pay me to do this or I'll go do something else with my
No,
life.
it's
Okay,
true.
well,
I mean,
we so here we go.
when one has to find the money to pay somebody that needs to be paid, it gets found. Yes, it's
But
true.
it's only because that person is willing to walk away. It's why heartless men get paid more because they're like, okay, their heart isn't in it. So if you want them there, you pay them to be there. There's a little we can observe about that and take for
No,
our
it's so true. It's so true.
yeah.
Or yeah. I mean, I guess I'm feeling like panic though. Like, I don't think I could walk away. Like, I wouldn't want to walk away. So I think that's like also panicky. Like,
Play that out.
I don't have to walk away, but like, if say they said, no, we're not, you should just do this for free because we already paid you, your fee should cover this or whatever.
Well, it doesn't, so that's a lie. Okay. But you're
But
not
if
going
they
to walk
did,
away from the music and sound part. You've
no,
committed.
I mean, I'm not. I'm just not going to do that.
They
I'm not
asked you to do
going to
this
walk away.
whole other thing. And you're like, well, I'll walk away from that because I don't really want to do it. And I'll just keep doing the music and the sound for you. You're not abandoning. We have to really be
Oh, I
careful.
see what you're saying. I thought you were saying, like, walk away completely.
No, you're not abandoning the project. You're not leaving them in a lurch. It's not like you're the only person on the face of the earth who could do this one thing for them. And you're saying, no, like you're not stalling their project because you're over here doing what you said you were going to do. And they're like, hey, do you want to do this other thing? Or could you? And you said, sure, give me some more money. And they say, yes. And you go, great.
That's that is you've just simplified it. That is how simple it is, and it's just all the thoughts in my brain that are making it very complicated.
Because if they ask you to do it and you're like, yeah, I'll do it for this much money, you can defer that payment. By the way, don't say that. They might come up with the money. Who knows? Wouldn't that be nice? But that's the gift you're giving them is the deferral of the payment. Work up front, pay later. That's the gift. And that's a huge gift. That's like a discount, you know? And if you said no, like let's just say you couldn't do it, they'd have to go find somebody to do it or do it themselves. But if they had to go find someone to do it, what are the odds that they could go find someone who would defer their pay to do it? They'd probably have to pay somebody to do it. So if you got any pushback, like I don't think you will, but let's just say you're like, I'll do it for this much money. And they're like, well, we can't pay you that much, or we don't, then, or oh, but can't you do it for less money? That's what the pushback would be like. Oh, well, could we pay you half of that? And you're like, no, the discount is actually the fact that you don't have to pay me today. That's the discount. And you clarify that. They're just not seeing that. But you clarify that that is indeed a discount because they're getting the work up front. Yeah. But this is about. And this will serve you for the rest of your career is separating the art and the heart from the business of it. Yeah. So it's just a simple little, yeah, I'll do that for this much. Let me know if that's good. And when they say yes, then you put it all in writing. Okay. And please acknowledge you receive this. So you have the, email chain. Yep. And then you do it.
I mean, I probably will ask for it in person tomorrow at a meeting, but
Well,
if
you put it in writing after. You
okay,
get
got
the
it.
agreement. Like, do you want me to do this? for these terms, and then they say yes, and then you but put it in writing so everybody doesn't forget 7 months from now.
Okay, cool.
And when you put, this is for everybody, when you put something in writing, the other person has to then acknowledge that they received it, or
I
else they'll
see.
be like, I lost that email, I didn't get the email, I never saw it. Bullshit.
Okay,
This is
cool.
really good. This is really good. I'm glad this little thing came up because then you had to just examine your thinking about this, and then you
Yeah.
can apply this thinking for everything else. Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you for the
Problem.
coaching on it. Yeah, when I saw that there was I guess we had two in a row, like two.
Yeah, we did just because of
Right.
the Easter holidays and stuff. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's happening today too. I have no excuse. There we go.
That's right, Jen. I know where you live. I actually don't, but yeah. Thank you. That was
Well,
a good
thank you.
one. Hi, everybody else. It's Creating Cash Flow. I'm Christine Aller. I created Creating Cash Flow. I coach in here for Abundance Bound. Kate, this is Ask Kate, Kate London, right here. The fabulous person. So I did not receive any questions in advance today. So the floor is open. Just raise your hand if you want to be coached so I can monitor and portion out the time. And I, Kate's in the chat, but I can't look at the chat and coach at the same time. My brain does not work that way. So I read the chat afterwards, just so you know. So what's going on? How can we make some cash flow? Hello, Jen.
There it is. Hi. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
How are you?
Very good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Okay. Well, I wasn't planning on speaking, but since there's an availability, I'll just be straight up honest. I've been a working actor for 20 years, and I am now a year in going through a divorce, which is sapping all of my resources. The industry feels like it has changed. I'm a mom to a 5.5-year-old.
Wow.
And so I'm trying to think about what else I can do. And it's the first time I've ever had to do that. I find it very overwhelming. I have moments where I feel excited and I'm like, okay, yes, I could do that. I could coach or I could X, Y, and Z, but it never goes very far. And I'm not being hard on myself because I'm still in the thick of my divorce and it's very intense. However, I just want to keep gathering the information, the resources, the tools for when I can make those choices and I can feel when I am feeling strong. So I'm curious. I guess I would just love your perspective on how does one begin when I'm in a place like this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
because I do need to. I do need to. I have the wonderful support of my parents, but that's not something I've ever had to rely on, and it's very hard for me to rely on them. So, yeah.
it is a great blessing that you have them as a resource, and just acknowledge that there's a lot of circumstances that have contributed to you leaning on them for some financial support and other kinds of support now. It's not like just you and your moral failings. Like, no, it's like this is a world that we live in, and the opportunities and things are not as robust as for generations past. Especially when you're working in this particular industry at this time, which is contracting. It's not just like you're feeling it. It's like, no. It's feeling it because it is happening. And it's great that you're looking at this with very clear eyes and going, okay, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what I wanted, but I'm going to go forth with clear eyes and looking at it straight in the eyes as well, which is really hard and painful to do. So I just want to acknowledge that and applaud you for, going through this with a what sounds like a lot of maturity.
Trying. Trying.
So at this stage of the game, I think you're right. There's a lot on your plate as that's very emotionally draining. So you don't likely have a lot of bandwidth to put towards like, okay, money making, what am I going to do? But what you can do is I would suggest deciding on a little bit of time, and it could be an hour a week right now, that you put towards starting to educate yourself. And it's not just educating yourself, but it's about getting the gears turning around thinking entrepreneurially for an additional stream of income. Even if you're like, I have no idea what I would do, or maybe I have an idea, but I don't know, like how. That doesn't matter right now, because the gears are, as they start to turn, you'll start to see things in a different light and think about things differently and maybe talk to people about things differently. And you'll finally hit on the, oh, an idea to try. So right now, and even if it's only 30 minutes a week, I would spend 30 minutes to 90 minutes each week. Try to be consistent. But if your life right now isn't, and I know an actor's life, but if it can't be like a weekly consistency, just say I'm going to spend this much time in a month, and then I don't care where it falls. But I'm going to dedicate this much time to starting to go through the creating cash flow document. Because that's going to lead you through the first part is just all about concepts and how you kind of come up with them and what questions to ask yourself and then to ask other people about you. And we can certainly talk about all that stuff here. And I'm going to ask you a few questions in a minute, but just start going through that document. You can read it or listen to it and getting your gears turning in a new and different way. Because someone who has been a mom for 5 years, sustained herself in the entertainment industry for 20 years, surely there is some skills and strengths that you have that you can use towards making an income. I have no doubt there. It's just about what is the thing that will fit into your life, not take so much of your energy, because you, if you still want to do the artistic stuff, you want to have energy for that and the mom thing. But how can you use that little piece of energy you have for income generation in the smartest, most strategic way possible
Yes,
so that
yes.
you create a net profit? So you're actually making money for your effort in something that's designed to be able to make you more and more and more.
Yes.
So it's out there. You just don't know it yet, and that's okay. And the place to sort of start is always like, what are my superpowers? What's really easy for me to do? What do people already ask me advice about or to do things? Or, what is something I kind of like to do? You don't have to love to do it, but I don't mind doing this thing, or I actually like doing this thing that seems to solve a problem or a pain point for someone. Like, I bet there's stuff that you that is already woven into your life in some way that could be pieced together. And so have you now, you've said like in the past, I've tried things. What have you tried already?
If I said that, I was mistaken. I've been thinking, I have been
Well, what have
thinking
you thought about?
coaching kids for auditions. I have friends who do that through certain already pre-existing like structured organizations. I've reached out to them. They're not currently seeking new people, but that felt like something because I'm part of a group called the Actor Center in New York, and we have our own listserv and we help each other tape for auditions, and I love it. And I do it with, I tend to do it with the same people who have become friends, and I just find it to be really empowering, and I feel if I trust, if we trust each other, like we can, I can easily coach them because I know that they'll are accepting of it, or and I feel that way from other people. So I feel like there's a confidence that I've been building with that. But I feel like I don't know how confident I would be with coaching other people. Kids feel like a little bit more of a doable thing, just from a confidence standpoint. But I'm open to either. It was suggested to me to start, think about starting like maybe an online course for maybe young female actors who are coming, either trying to get into drama school, because I did go to drama school, getting into drama school, navigating through it, entering into the industry. What stops me from pursuing any of these things is just sort of like this, like, well, what do I have to offer? The industry has changed so much. I'm in such a vulnerable place in my own life. Like, it just, it's like I feel like it requires quite a lot of vulnerability and confidence at the same time. And so I end up getting a little bit stuck.
How did you become confident as a working actor?
I just kept getting jobs. I mean, I got a job right away before I even graduated drama school. And I started working in television right away, and it just kept kind of flowing. And that always, when people I worked with asked to work with me again, and I've just, I really enjoy collaborating with people, and I feel like I have a good work ethic, and to have developed really good relationships with people I've worked with. And even when times were slow, in the work, in like other than the last, what feels like the last, pandemic, strike, et cetera, divorce now. I was working, I even worked, I did work in pandemic, but it just feels like the last, my last job was in October, and it just feels like I'm just having the double whammy of the draining resources happening at the same time that I'm not working. And it's just like, it's really, it's intense.
And how did you even have the gumption to think you could be an actor?
It just was, I mean, once my first love was music, and then once I did like musicals in high school, and then I was like, oh, this is a language I speak. It just made sense to me. It was the way I like to express myself. It was the people I like to be around. And I just got really great feedback, and like it just made, it just boosted my confidence, and then I just it just was a joy for me.
And then how did you think you could be a mom?
I just always wanted to be a mom. And because I just had a lot of love, I just felt like that part of me was like very, like I wanted to give that to a little being. It's a lot harder than I ever imagined for all the moms out there. But it's, I believe it was, I've got my kid, he's, I don't know, just it feels like it was, so I knew I wanted to be a mom, but I didn't. I don't know how, I've had to, it's a major learning curve, and I have to have support, and we all have to support each other because it's hard.
So it sounds like at these different points in your life, with your artistic career and with motherhood, you had a desire to do it. And then you just started doing it with whatever was available to you. Like you didn't know what kind of kid you were going to get. You're just like, lottery, rolled the dice. And you just what was available to you in high school was like doing these musicals, and you just kind of did it. So you had a desire, then you acted on that desire, and then you got feedback. And then you learned and learned and learned and learned and learned and learned and learned. But the feedback was like, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Yeah.
Why would it be any different with starting something? You have a desire to have another stream of income. You're gonna just try something, and then you're gonna get some feedback. And then, because you're really smart and have done this already before, you're gonna learn and learn and learn and learn and get more feedback. And then you'll be successful, because that seems to be the pattern in your life. Successful kids, successful acting career, successful side income. Why not?
I'm hearing a Miata voice that says, just because you're searching for a side income doesn't mean that the thing you've been doing is a failure. But there's some correlation in that for me.
100%. Are you kidding me? It took me 18 months to decide to tell my commercial, like my representation, I'm gonna take a 8 month hiatus just to see if this organizing thing. But it took me 18 months to decide to even step back from acting, and I wasn't quitting. I was just taking a hiatus. Yeah, it's hard because my whole identity was, I mean, I told everybody since I would could speak, I'm going to be an actor. And then I was just like, everyone's going to think I just quit because I couldn't do it. Who's going to believe that I love moving boxes around as an organizer more than I love being on television? Like, no one will believe me, but I did. I mean, I loved it just as much. And I was like, no one's going to believe me, and everyone's going to think I'm a failure. So it took me a long time to make that shift. So I get it. And I understand those voices. That's your little lizard. Dog, you're a failure. Don't do that. It's scary. Come back in the cave with me where it's safe. But let's expand this out. You've never faced circumstances that you're facing now in the world. And then in our industry, and then in your personal life. Okay? You didn't do barely anything to make these circumstances of the world. You didn't do anything to make the industry be what it is. And then here's your marriage. Okay, so you guys aren't the right match at this point. None of that reflects on poorly on you. You didn't know. You made a decision that all things being like all things on the table felt like a good decision when you made it to marry and procreate with this person. Like, okay, I made a decision. You didn't see this plot twist coming, probably. Odds are. Yeah. So here we are. Part of what being an adult is being able to define words like success for ourselves and not how anybody else does it. Parents, society, the industry, anything. So before I would even crack open creating cash flow, I would use that little bit of time each week to journal or however you like to self-reflect on why you are actually a success. Why the things that you put your mind to actually turn out pretty successfully. The things you contribute to it. A relationship takes two people. You could never control it into greatness, but why you are successful, what's how you define success, and what is the actual evidence, not puffery, not like, we're all stardust and yay, not that, but like actually the things that you've done, especially in this industry. I can't, I mean, you've worked 20 years in a really hard industry to sustain yourself in. Like all these things. Because
And
in
I'm the
order,
sole income provider in my marriage. I just want to put that out there.
I would definitely put that out there in some big neon letters. Like put that, yeah, that's huge as an artist, as a sole income provider, yeah, but then double the gold stars because you did it as an artist. That's one of the hardest needles to thread in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're going to go out in the world and say to people, I can do this thing or I can provide this thing and I'd like you to pay me for it, there has to be a confidence there. It doesn't have to be 100% confidence, just 1% confidence of maybe you can maybe deliver a pretty good enough job. So we want you, it'd be no use to create a business if you're not in alignment around, I can do this. You created a human. Like you generated a human being and then got it out into the world. And you're the sole income provider. And you've been an artist for 20 years. Like, this is just like, I mean, when compared to that, this is like, oh, yeah, okay. And so I'm going to make some money doing this other thing that I'll think of. It's not that big of a deal.
I so appreciate you saying that, but Lord, it feels, for some reason, it feels so, I
New.
have, it, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just that it's new. It's just that I haven't done it. It's just that it's, yeah.
Yeah. And we have a lot less bullshit in our brains when we're in high school and we're like, I could be an actor. And everyone's like,
Oh,
go,
yeah.
girl, you do it. And people will say, yay, even if they think you'll fail. They're just like,
Yeah,
oh, you're so young and so cute and isn't enthusiasm fun.
world's your oyster.
Yeah. And a lot of people are there to kind of help you with the next step because people love potential. They love helping potential and they're like, she's got years to succeed. Like it's a more
And
fertile,
don't I still? Come
right?
on, don't I still?
But in our own heads, 20 years later, when we're like, I'm gonna start something new. Coupled with, it's not just you're starting something new, your whole life is changing. Your
Yes.
entire setup of your life is also going to be new. And it's hard to do two new things at once. And it gets just really kind of like, because it feels unstable and it feels weird. And then you're doing it in a context of the world being very weird and very unstable. Nobody knows what the future holds. So it's just new. It just feels weird. Also, you don't want to fucking do it. You want to get acting work. So there's a little resistance
Yeah.
mixed. That. Yeah, it's like, why do I fucking have to
And
do this?
it always came. So there's still a part of me that's like, it's gonna come. But there's another part of me that is new that says, okay, I've been lucky, I've worked hard, but I have a child and it's just me, and I want to have guaranteed income. I want to
That's
have something I can count on for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's called maturity. That's why I use that word. It's like, yeah, that's clear-eyed, setting yourself up for the ability to shepherd this young boy through this all and yourself. So it's just new. Also, there's the mourning. You're also in grief, by the way. You're grieving the losses of things. You're grieving like, oh, I should have been here by now, like because I made lots of good choices and I'm a good person. What the fuck? And don't I get a rest and all of that? Yeah, totally get it. Yeah, but the world's not giving us a rest right now. And you can do this. It's just new. It's well within your capabilities. And you're so smart to be in a group like this where you have help. Just keep coming
So
back.
good.
And
I'm
I
so
will
grateful
help you
me.
get some cash flow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. I will definitely go through the cash flow course.
Yeah.
Is it it's a course or it's a I did
Oh,
launch into abundance.
yeah. It's not videos.
Not
It's
videos.
you can read the whole thing or you can listen to it like an audiobook, me
Oh,
talking, if you want to hear more of my voice.
great. Okay. Yes. Because you remind me of
Jenna,
one of my dear friends, actually.
I put the link in the chat for the
Oh,
course.
great. Oh, great. Thank you, Kate.
And so I would probably say to you, the next time you should come back here is after you've, it's in four parts. I believe it's four parts. But the first part is on concepts. So once you digest that part, come back and we'll talk about possibilities, because that'll give you some food for thought, like, oh, okay, and start asking questions about myself and to other people and skills and strengths and all that good stuff.
Okay, great.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your vulnerability of sharing that with me so that you I can be on your team, you know?
Thank you, Christine. I really appreciate it. Yeah,
You're welcome.
I gotta keep moving through it. So.
That's right. One little baby step at a time, telling yourself stories that make you feel good enough to get out of bed in the morning. You can tell yourself stories that make you feel bad, and you can tell yourself stories that make you feel good, and they're both fiction. They're just stories. So you might as well pick the ones that make you feel good. Like, I can do this. I have success before. I can, here's all the proof of my success, all of that.
Love that. Yeah. Here's the proof. Thank you. Thank you,
All
Christine.
right. I look forward to this. Yeah. Who's next? Ruthie.
Oh my God, I'm so inspired. Thank you, Christine Oller, and thank you so much, Jen. Both Jens. So good to hear you guys. Oh my God, this journey never ends, especially being an abundance bound, where it's like, yeah, no, multiple streams of income, biatches, where is it? Oh my God, which is so necessary and yet so challenging because it's constantly pushing me out of my comfort zone, which is like, so this I'm dealing with right now is with the branding stuff and wanting to make money doing things that I enjoy. So I helped my client, my yoga teacher, with her branding, and we sort of ended. She's just ended, but she got new pictures. I helped her with the types of pictures she should get. I helped her with her about me page, and I helped her get her tagline, which will then help her get her logo. So we did a lot of work, and I did too much work, of course, but now it's just time for me to ask for her testimonial. Great. And then I'm helping a friend with her curly hair business, and we're going to do three sessions, which I have to figure out what they are, which I think is just enough to get her about me page because she's a good writer. I've worked with her creatively and I give her suggestions and then she can build on them. So I need to focus on like what those steps are. However, I'm finding that just like with acting, the marketing aspect of this gets like, and charging for my services, like, oh, but I'm not really a this. I just start the voices of not even imposters. Yes, let's call it imposter syndrome to just nutshell it easily. So because of that, what I do, and I'm here, I'm not even here, I was here to listen, but since there's availability, what I would love to hear is like how to vroom. Because I applied for something called MECHO, doesn't matter what it stands for, MECHO, but it's this program, 6-week training. It's done in LA and just a select few other states where you don't even have to be a citizen, you can just be an immigrant, but they train you how to be a home cook, which just turn your kitchen into a home kitchen. I'd have to be certified, inspected, the whole thing, which is great. And then they show you how to cook, blah, blah, blah. And long story short, I heard about this thing called Chef, Chef, and I was looking at it, and it's kind of like the same deal. You put your menu of what you offer to cook, and then people seem to buy it like a restaurant, and the chefs offer it a date. Like if I were to order food now, they might deliver it May 15th, Right. So it seems like it's organized to make it easy because you're not a restaurant and maybe one person will ask for a whatever. So because I'm like, I don't have to market. Am I really a branding person? Can I really help these people? I'm like, let me use my cooking skills, which is still valid, but this is a habit that I have in my life. When it gets uncomfortable, what's the next shiny object that I'll do? And yes, I would like to, and I could have bake sales and blah, 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 but I'm trying to focus and build something. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, I really, really love that you brought up this thing of like, I've been going down this road of the branding thing, and now it's getting a little uncomfortable. Oh, I could do this other thing. Gah. And it's like you have talent in that area too. It's not, you know, it's not like I'm gonna go, you know, learn how to build huts or something you've never done before. It's
Right.
like it makes sense. But then you're pivoting and you're going to run into the exact same problem. Even if you use a service like Chef that will help you get clients. Yeah, they'll help you get a few clients, but they won't help you get enough clients. So you will have to then do marketing. And when I look at these two ideas, do I want to do a home cooking out of my kitchen in whatever fashion, food prep, private chefing, whatever? And do I want to help people with their business branding? Well, one of them has much higher overhead, has much more expenditures, resources, your gas, your electricity. Food costs are only going up. So would you even be able to charge enough to make a net profit? Not just a profit,
Got
just
it.
your business got money coming in, but if you have high overhead, then you're not going to make a net profit. You're not going to have any money left over to use to, you know, whatever. So the business branding has a lot less overhead. People are much more invested in it. People will buy maybe a meal or two, but you would need a steady client who wants you to cook for them on a regular basis or meal prep or whatever. But over here, people are invested in their. They're willing to invest in their business because they want to make money from their business. So it's a much more
Right.
direct line towards a profit. And people can then rationalize the investment versus this, which is a luxury item. It's a
Absolutely.
yeah.
Thank you. That helps.
So if I was choosing between the two, that's how I'd make that choice.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'd make it because of the overhead, but I'd also make it because you cannot avoid building marketing muscles.
Nope, you cannot. I've tried.
Run in every direction you want, and you end up in the same, facing that same thing. Yeah. And you can grow your business to a certain level. And then if you want to grow it more, all that is bigger marketing muscles. Like, yeah. And let me just say, you know, just to get it on the record, it's great that we are able to have additional streams of income and be entrepreneurial and create stuff for ourselves. It's great that we can. It's not great that we have to. It's not actually great that we have to do this, that artists aren't supported, or that people who that have children or caregiving opportunities, there's no social safety net or universal income or healthcare that's not attached to your job. Like, there's a lot of fucked up shit systemically that is sugar-coated with, isn't it great to be entrepreneurial and be your own boss, girl boss? It's like, no, I'd actually just like to do my art. Couldn't I just get paid a living wage to kind of, yeah. So it's great that we're here and we're able to have this discussion, but please don't think that I'm just looking at from the point of view of like, wow, it's amazing to make your own money. It's like, well, it would be also be nice if there were like really jobs that like paid you well enough so that if that's just what you wanted, you could have one of those. Okay, just wanted to say that. But in the spirit of entrepreneurship, yeah, I would, especially now, I would go towards what looks low overhead, more lucrative, easier clientele because you can work with a wide range of people, yoga teacher to curly hair person, just anybody who needs visibility in their business and is just feeling really wonky and needs support around speaking and identifying who they are. And you're good at that, telling that story. And you're just getting now going to get better and better at telling the story of your business. You're telling this, your business is telling the story of other people's businesses. Powers also need to be put on yourself and telling the story about your business. And you're doing a client interview about the arc of their experience working with you. You're not getting a testimonial. You're doing, yeah. I mean, you what that's this is important. I think I say this in cash flow. I'm sure there's something about the testimonials thing because you don't want someone just being like, Ruthie's great and it's fun to work with her. It's like you want to be like, this is how it was feeling before. Oh, this is why I went with her. Oh my God, she made it so great. This is what was so great and how it affected my bottom line. And now I feel like this because we're done. So people can go, oh, she'll make me feel better. Stick with it. And you got, at least from what I've heard so far, two clients, one of whom you've brought all the way through the arc to success. So just do that again and again and again and again and again. Like you've done it. So the idea of can I do it is moot. But you do have to charge for it. You do have to sort of pay attention to all the things you did with her and how much time that took. And should they be separated out? And like, we could do this, or then we have the little package and the jumbo package, like, whatever. Did you want to talk about that too?
Yes, I would. I would for like, I guess, because I think I need to do that about just a website, just a page so that people can go to it. And like, it has to be really simple because I'm not going to do it. If I put my fingers on a Wix website, I'm going to be on it for like weeks trying to make it a ginormous website. And that's, I'd rather jump off a building because it goes nowhere. I've done it and I do nothing with it. So something really simple. So it's just like, oh yeah, and go here with, like you said, me telling my own story of what I offer. And then also, I think I need, because someone had told me that for branding, it's like a whole project, and I should probably be charging $6,000 for an entire brand, right? For a whole package to walk people through so that it's not hours, but it's like what we will accomplish. So I mean, and I'm not there to charge $6,000. I'm still getting my sea legs around what can I manageably do for
What did
these
you charge the yoga
individuals?
teacher? What did you charge the yoga
Just
teacher?
$600.
Okay. And how many sessions did you happen to spend with her?
About 8 or 9, because I would do calls with her and we just talk about her stories and stuff. But yeah, I went over because I just wasn't feeling like we were finished with the whole thing. Like, I gave her individual pieces, but I didn't want to write everything for her, so she was given homework, and then it was like, well, blah, 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 on some of the homework sessions, which didn't make me feel like I was going to be able to accomplish what I need to accomplish based on what she brought.
And you gave her homework because it would be cheaper if she was doing it like herself versus you writing it.
Well, I can't write something, and I can't make stuff up for her. So, like, we would go through the sessions, and then I would write some stuff. And then there were other things, homework that she needed to do, and she may not have gone far enough, or she was like, I'm not sure if I understood it, or her head, where her head was. So,
And so what are the things that now I understand what you're okay, so for everybody listening, what your friend was saying is you need to have this thing that you're charging a person for that's not necessarily based on hours that you're working, but it's like, here's what we're going to accomplish with your business. Like, five components that we're going to do.
Exactly.
And it's this much money, regardless of how much time we work together or I work on. Yeah. Because they're paying for the finished experience of it. And by the way, you, and this is important for your marketing, you're creating assets for them that they're going to use for at least, one would hope, 3 to 5 more years. You know, so it's not just, they're not just paying you for something that isn't going out of date or away quickly. It's like you're investing in getting this right and getting it done so you can get on with it for the next 3 to 5 years before you do it again. And when you do it again, because you've been through this process, you'll likely be able to do it yourself. Please tell them that. Not they can come back to you and you'll do it all again. So what are there five components to what you do? Are there three components to what you do? What are the components that you can offer? Photos, about me page, tagline, like what are the things?
The photos, definitely all three of those things that you said. And basically helping them find who their actual customer is
Okay.
often is a big one, who they're serving. And then another thing was like a whole suite of content, blog post ideas, social media posts, like just from that, all the possibilities, including like their
Now,
personality.
have you ever delivered on that before for someone, the whole
No,
social
just this
media?
time. No, I mean, no, I mean, I have for Abundance Bound, but not for, this is the first time with my yoga teacher, the first time based on A, her personality, because we were like, oh, I was like, no, those people are boring. You're more interesting than that, so you need to have. So she named her blog, again, with my encouragement, she named it
Yeah.
something funny, potatoes and something else. And then it's like, you can do recipes and blah, 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 blah,
Yeah.
expanding
You
her
gave her kind of
idea.
like the idea of how to have content communication to attract her ideal
Yes. And then I gave her about 30 different blog
in
post
her voice.
ideas. Yes, her voice and 30 different blog post ideas with that tone.
Okay, great. So, what if you had, I'm just pulling this out. What if you had two packages? The one that's $980 and one that's $1,480. And the 980 includes, we're going to talk about your photos. We're going to talk about your voice, which is definitely your about me. The tagline, like the summation, and the type of person you want most as a customer or client, and
Customer.
how to actually communicate with them. That's what we do in the $980 package. And in the $1,480, it's the same thing, except I add the blog social media component where we talk about that and we have ideas or templates or how to bring your voice into this stuff. How to recycle stuff that you may already have.
Yeah, and I can help them start a YouTube channel for sure in that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, could that, but might that be,
That can be separate.
that's either we do with the 1480, we either do blog social media. We'll talk about that specifically. Or we can talk about a YouTube. And if you want both, then you pay extra. Then it's
Okay.
1,880 if you want both. I'm just making numbers up. Because YouTube is a world of its own. I have done so much research into YouTube, and it's like I could now tell people and point them towards stuff. But that's all knowledge I spent all that time gaining. You know, so it's like it's a whole world. You don't just throw videos up on YouTube and hope the algorithm picks them up. Like There's stuff behind the scenes that you do.
Well, the YouTube is the same as the 980. You still need to know who you're talking to, your voice, your
Correct.
tagline, and
But
but
you
then it's the nuts and bolts of getting it onto YouTube.
Right, but you could clearly see from my business that I have that I know about my image. I know how to talk about myself. I have my own voice. I know how to interact with people. I have like a visual. I have visual components that are consistent along things. But with YouTube, it's about okay. What do you want to get out of? Like, I'm not even talking about the technical stuff of setting. You don't have to help her with the technical stuff. You can, there's plenty of videos on YouTube that point her to about,
Okay.
19 things you do after you post a video to get it to, but I'm just talking about that. I've put a lot of thought into, okay, so what do I want these videos to accomplish? How do I want, what is a template that I want my videos to have so I'm not recreating the wheel every time I sit down in front of the camera? What are my videos going to look like? Is it just going to be me talking? Am I going to have cutaways? How many cutaways? Am I going to have graphics? How much graphics? Is there going to be like, there's all these choices that is about the voice, attracting the right people, delivering your message in a palatable way that people will keep watching. Like, there's nuance to translating branding from a blog and social media to YouTube. It's a whole different, video's a whole different thing, especially if you're using it to attract clients. So it's extra because it's a whole other thing. And part of marketing your business is educating clients that it's a whole other thing. Part of your marketing is talking about, oh, you can have all the components, just what I said. You can have all the components of your brand. Translating that into a YouTube video that actually gets you what you want. Well, first you have to know exactly what you want and what the people. So this is a whole other conversation that I'd love to have with you. And we can certainly do it if you want to buy this package. So your job is to have them see their things in a different light, because most people are just like, I guess I need some photos and I guess I need to do some videos. It's like they haven't really thought it through. But when you can start
A
to
lot.
go, oh, but it's this and it's this, oh, and it's this, and then they're like, wow, she really knows what she's talking about. Maybe I, and I didn't know all that, so maybe I should pay her some money to make this go faster. And you can say, you can do all of this by yourself, you don't need me. But if you want to get it done sooner, rather than much, much later, and spend all that time piecing this stuff together on your own, because it's not about information, it's about application and getting it right the first time.
So the thing that comes up for me, which is what the so I have my own channel that I haven't paid attention to for a while, that they would be like, well, why should I pay attention to you? Like, where's the sample of that you know how to do this perfectly? Like the thing of like, oh, let me go copy what this marketing expert does. Do you know what I mean? Like that thing where I get into, because I know the story part, because I've done it, but the executing it. And I've also done a YouTube channel and all this other stuff, but I'm talking about my imposter syndrome issue.
Right. Okay. So what I like to do is, because everything is just a story and story is just fiction, it's just the spin you're putting on it. So if you're sitting here going, okay, I want to help people with the YouTube channel, but I don't have a perfect YouTube channel,
That's the story.
right? That's your story about yourself. But the way I would say that to people is, here's the thing about YouTube. It's not about copying what you've seen work for somebody else, because this is about you and your voice and your particular angle on it. Looking at anybody else's channel isn't where it's going to be at for you. But you and I can sit down and come up with something that's going to feel so authentic and frankly smooth for you to incorporate into your marketing for your business. So you just
Yeah, that I can do.
turn them away from looking at anybody else's channel, including yours. Marketing is about getting people. Marketing is a lot like cinematography. It's a lot. The thing about a movie is the director and the cinematography and the director and the DP are showing you what to look at. Don't look over here. Oh, don't miss the fact that the red cup is there. It's probably going to come back and it's important. So we'll hold it. It's the same thing. Is you're telling your client, but don't look at that. I only want you to think about it this way. And have you ever thought about it this way? And they're like, no, I thought about it that way.
Thank you, because in that I have full confidence of what I can offer. But this shows up in many areas of my life, even as an actor of marketing myself. Like, oh, but I'm not, oh, but I don't have big boobs. Oh, but I haven't won an Academy Award, right? So I was looking at what I don't have instead of what I really know I can offer. And then just trusting that if that what I offer is important to that person, then we'll get that. So that helps. Thank you. Because that is something I know I did for my yoga teacher, where she's not going to have, oh, beads on a beach and, that sort of, I told you want to do yoga. She'll have a personality and she's so much more specific and so much more personality than she would have had on her own based on her last website, just the typical yoga scene, what we expect from a yoga website. And I can do that for people because I'm more of like, well, what are they giving me? And then I help them turn it back into them. But I get into the I'm not this, I'm not that. And that's just a bad story that doesn't make me want to get out of bed.
And when you're providing a service like yours, it's kind of a I understand where you're coming from because you're like, but my whole, all of my stuff isn't perfect. So how is a person going to be like, but you're not doing it for you? And well, but your zone of genius that they're paying you for is for you to do it for them. Your YouTube channel also, anybody going to it, it's something that you had done. It's a project that you had done in the past. It's not like it's current. So that's what the client, stories are about. So people can be like, oh, she helped this person. She helped this person. She helped this person. Now you are in the business of branding. So you do have to be branded a bit. Like it can't, there can't be any red flags, but it doesn't have to be perfect. There just doesn't have to be any red flags.
What do you mean by red flags?
Well, like someone who's like, I create websites and then I go to your website and I'm like, I mean, how do I have any confidence? Unless you have 18 samples of other people's websites that are amazing. So
Got it.
I understand using about.me, but that doesn't give you a lot. I think you're going to need just a smidge more room.
Because of the branding aspect.
Yes. So one page website though, the thing that has nav that just drops down to the different sections. Because I want you to be like, the first section is, this is who I work with. Are you're great at what you do, but you're not so great at talking about it yet or whatever. But this is who I work with, self-employed, whatever. This is what I work with. And then you talk to them about like how they're feeling right now. Oh my God, you want to do this, but you don't have, and you just feel like your site looks like everybody else's site, or you don't have the words when someone says, what is it that you do? Like all go into what that person who's there at like 12:30 at night, Googling around, looking for what are they feeling? Talk about their feelings. And once they're like, oh, she really understands me, then you go into, here's how I can help. And here's how, but first, here's what it's going to feel like to have somebody on your team. Because you can do this all by yourself. Get it. There's books in the library. There's videos online, but that's hours and hours of self-education. But if you work with me, it's going to be faster. It's going to be more fun, and it'll be, something that you can use, and you'll have created
Right.
assets you can use again and again. So now they've gotten to your website and they're like, "Oh, she works with people who have my problems. Oh, she really gets my problems. How is she in my head right now? Oh, she's already making me feel a little more calm because she seems really cool and nice, and she's going to make it fast and fun." Then you talk about what is it you're actually going to do. Well, I can do six, one, two, six things. I help people with photos. I help people with their voice, which is like their bio and blah, blah, blah. I help people with taglines and logos and that kind of marketing, the visual aspect of the marketing. I help people find and communicate with their ideal clients, the clients that are going to be most lucrative. I help people with their blog and social media ideas and how to, attract people through that. And I help people with figuring out how to use YouTube as a client generation vehicle. If you want to do these four things, it's this. And if you want to do this, it's this. And if you want to add YouTube, there's an extra. So you kind of have three choices. Here's how you contact me. Here's a little bit about me, why I'm so good at this, your picture, a couple lines, blah, blah, blah. Contact you. That's it. That's the one page website. And if you know, because I trust you, know you, and you're like, if I get in front of Wix, boom, I'm going to be there. Then you need to get somebody who will either sit with you or be like, we're going to bang this out in a day. You can bang this out in a day, one full day or two half days, but bang
Thank
it
you for
out.
that.
So I want you to go, I need 8 hours for this project.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay.
Where am I going to get the eight? Or if I want to split it up into four or two, two, and two, however the math works.
Right.
And then who's going to be your accountability buddy or and body double, if you need to do this, or maybe you're using power hours for it or whatever.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to bang
Awesome.
that out. And then you're going to like put it up in either you can put it up in the community here, or you can send it to a few people and be like, what do you think? I'd ha be happy to put eyes on it.
Thank you. Thank you. I need the accountability. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
That
You
feels
can so
very
do this.
doable.
Because we need people who know you and love you and know you're good at this. We need a place to send people that gives them everything they need to know and that inspires confidence. Like, oh, she is, and it does not have to be fancy. In fact, if you want to make your website look expensive, make it minimalist. My website, because it's just been developed over a long period of time, it's not minimalist, even in the design. It's not. But if that got destroyed or hacked and I had to start over, it would be so minimalist because that's the quickest way to look elevated is to be sparse and white space. And here's a little bit and here's a little thing. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very
You're welcome.
much.
You're very,
I'll
very
give
welcome.
myself a couple of weeks for this, but bless
Yeah.
you. Thank you, Christine
You're welcome,
Aller.
Ruthie. Always good to talk to you.
You're a
Ileana.
blessing. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you to everyone who has shared. My question is really inspired by Jen Kuhn's question and where we started with like pulling apart art and business, but it's a little bit from the other direction. I have had a long-standing trouble with keeping the business part out of my brain while I'm trying to write. Because I'll be specific, right now I'm working on a pilot, and the hope is to sell that pilot. And thinking about that makes it hard to write the pilot. Like, what are the mandates? And my manager wants this by this day. And the winds of the industry are saying this and that. And like the those that component makes me really not want to sit down and write. And so Like, I've tried pulling my brain away from thinking about those things. I'm usually not successful. I'm wondering if there's a way of like integrating though, like if I maybe don't necessarily have to throw away the market thinking, and if there's a way to sort of tame it or make it friendly to the creative part of the process. But yeah, it's been something that has been persistently difficult, and the conversation today reminded me of it, so I figured I should ask.
Such a good, you bring the best question. You bring the best questions. I mean, Jen's question, it was just, those are elevated questions and really the art, the business thing. That's the elevated shit right there. Okay, so how have you tried in the past unsuccessfully? Like, what have you been trying to do with your brain? Pull it away.
I think a lot of it has been just throttling through the anxiety that the career thinking brings up. I've been, my path has been that I have been primarily earning from my creative income, which is wonderful, but I've said before, like, it feels like my career is holding a gun to my creativity's head, because there was just this thing of like, you have to finish it, you have to go. And like, it worked. Did it work? It worked in a way. But it certainly like was flooding and adrenalized, and it was part of the process of like, I would crash and burn for every deadline. And I'm thankfully out of that pattern now. Part of what's been helpful is having a little bit more of separation. Like, I'm in a writer's room, so that is my career primarily right now. And it lets the writing I do on my own sort of feel separate and more like mine. And so that helps a little bit. I think part of the reason my room ends on the 21st, so I can feel the winding down of that, which is kicking up the like, then what's the next thing? Is it this? It better be this. So like, yeah, it's been easier during times when I have other work going, and it's kind of just been trying to use the career pressure to push my creativity faster, which is not nice.
Yeah, so you've just described almost everybody's experience in the industry. Okay. So let's go back. Take me back to a time in your life where you were writing something, doesn't matter what it was, where you were like, I'm gonna write this, but I mean, how could I even sell this, or how can I even get it made? Like, I have no idea. I'm just gonna write it.
The thing that comes to mind is like high school. I was, it's like my happiest memory of what my creativity was like. I was such a voracious writer in high school. I would come home and like do my homework as fast as I could so that I could stay up the rest of the night writing, and it felt so like fun and free.
Right. And who were you writing for?
Myself.
Okay. And then take me to the next stage where it was like you wanted to get it made. Because in high school, you're like, I'm in high school. What is, what are the odds? There were no odds. So you were like, yay. But then you got to a point where it was like, this is like good. But I don't have representation. I don't have any connections. But I want it to, like, I want this play to be on the boards. Like, what was there was there a time in your life where you were writing something but desiring it to get out there?
Yeah, that fulcrum, funny enough, was like late high school. There was this little circuit of young playwrights competitions that I entered and won. And so that was like the first little hit of the drug of like, oh, you can write something and then people do it and you get to watch. Like,
Yeah. So take me back. Where in your life is the point in time where you were like, if I only had representation, if I only had representation right now, oh, I wish, I'm writing this stuff and it's good. And I just wish I had representation so it could like go somewhere or someone could help me get it somewhere.
think I went straight from undergrad to grad school, and so like end of college, beginning of grad school, I was like so desperate for reps, and that was the big daily focus.
Yeah, and what were you saying yourself? You're like, I'm a writer. I love writing. I'm good at it. And I just wish I had, what were your words to yourself at that time in your life?
I think it was like, if I just had, there was a lot of, if I just had that, like if I just had reps, everything would flow from there.
Right? And what would she tell you now?
It did. Like, calm
You
down.
have reps.
You have
It
reps.
did. I'll tell you what she would tell you right now. Holy fucking shit. You mean when you write this thing, you get to like then give it to people who are actually going to help you? Like, that's magic. Fucking magic. That's like my dream come true. What are you bitching about?
You're right.
Right. But that's what she would be saying right now. Her mind would be blown if she was transported right now into your life. And I'm not talking about gratitude. This isn't about you should just be grateful. No, I'm saying that she would be so excited. She's like, oh my God, and your day job is where? And what you're. And then you get to write this other thing and then give it to representation? Like, she would be amazed at you. And she would be so excited to write. Right? So I won't. Okay, let's put a pin in that for a minute. Because the other thing at play here is what you just described before. It was like, oh, it feels like, you know, the industry has a gun to my head. And I was like, yeah, that's almost everybody has that feeling, you know? And we want the industry to change. We don't want it to be like that. There's no reason for it to be like that. It's utterly about power that it's like that, and intimidation and nonsense. And women especially are like, fuck that shit. That's not the feminine flow of anything. If you want things to be different, you have to start making them different within you. So you dragging your brain back from the, that's a political act too. And it is an act that you're in a position to do. And if you don't do it, how's anybody else going to do it? Especially the people following in your footsteps. Because you're living the dream of so many people right now. And so what you can do to make the world a better place right now is to go, hey, I'm not buying into that bullshit. You're going to feel it. Your brain's going to go there because you've been conditioned. But then you link your brain back and you go, no fucking way. For me and for all the other women who came before me and are coming after me, I'm going to write this for me. And when it is done, I'm going to give it to my reps because that's magical. And I'm going to take that power back instead of giving your power over to all these voices that say, you're not going to be successful. You'll never get another job unless you do it like this. Okay. So now you have plugging your brain back into the fact that it's pretty amazing that you have someone to give your work to after you finish writing it. And then you have, I need to protect my artist self because that's what I want this industry to do to artists is protect our artist self a little bit more instead of it just being all about the pressures of the business. And then the other place you can take your brain to is like, you could die before you even finish this. So why don't you most enjoyable process that you can. It might be the last thing you write. So why not make it joyful and something that feels easeful? And what if you tell yourself the story that if I can write this, I'm gonna the texture that I write this with is the texture that the project will be done in. So if I write this in pressure and adrenalized and forcing myself, it'll get sold, but the whole fucking pressure and show running it will feel like this. But if you write it like this, fuck everybody, I'm writing this for me. I'll be done when I'm done. This might be the last thing I write, so I'm gonna make it feel really good and joyful, juicy, because I got one wild and precious life to live, and I will give it to you when I'm ready, and it'll be so good you won't mind that it's a little bit late. That's how the project will also be. Just stories. But I'm much more concerned with the texture and quality of experience you're having in this industry than your level of success and what everyone's telling you won't happen unless you do it this way. They might be right, but you'll wear yourself out. And then it'll just be like, you'll be a husk of a woman at the craft service table, putting it all in your purse because you're finally going to get what's due to you. Yeah, don't be that lady. I've seen that lady. So, how does that, is there anything useful in there that you think you can pull from?
That's so tremendous. No, it's all perfect. Thank you so much. I love what you said about like the energy, because I really felt that when I was putting in the rushed, scared, frantic energy, like the projects felt rushed, scared, and frantic. And I've had pockets of feeling that feeling of like, this happens on my time, damn it. And then it's actually easier and faster. And everything went fine. Like, of course, as soon as I stopped gripping. And I appreciate the focus on the present moment and the texture and quality of the experience now. And I had been thinking about like, I'm a corporation now, which has been very metaphorical. And it's like, if I'm running this little company, like I want a better work-life balance for my employees. And as the president, I'm gonna make sure they have it. Like, I think there's also something about taking the, you know, and I there's also a little bit of acknowledging the reality of like the earnings that I have from this room will sustain me for a while. So that pressure is completely artificial, and I can like have the clarity of being in reality about the space that I actually have and enjoying it, so that I didn't work so hard just to fret during the time that I have earned to relax.
That's right. And if you have such a tenuous relationship with your reps that if you don't do what they say and your relationship with them is contingent on working in that, you don't have good reps. It's not gonna work.
Yeah,
Because
and
what if you got in a car accident, would they
it's
just dump you? Like what if something happened in your life that slowed everything? Like you need reps who are like, no, you've got a lot in you, and we just want to maximize it as it comes out. Versus, we are so plugged into the power game of the industry that we're going to take all the stuff that's been dumped on us and dump it right on you, which is what people do. This industry is full of people who were bullied in first grade, and then when they became sixth graders, fucking turned around and bullied the first graders. Instead of becoming sixth graders, we're like, well, I didn't like that, so I'm not gonna do. Yeah.
Yeah, and the more I think about it, the more it really is like the time pressure is self-generated, and it's a stray comment here or there, but it actually is almost completely coming from me,
Yeah.
which is I can just stop.
Yeah. And them checking in on you, hey, how's the project going? What if the story you tell yourself is they're just genuinely checking in on me because that's their job? They're just going down the list and checking on their clients. They're not like, pressuring me. They're just checking in. That's their job. They're trying to earn their 10%.
Yeah.
So they've checked in. Yeah. Yeah. This is a lot. There's so much. Yeah. And there's just so much. Women especially have to unwind from our patriarchal conditioning, and you're so lucky to be even employed as a writer in this industry. And no, you should just like, oh, but then you're just the little girl. You're just going through your career as the little girl who's just so lucky to be here. And it's like, oh, fuck you. I'm in a writer's room. Like, a
Yeah.
little bit of that. We need a little bit of that.
Yeah. That's good energy to practice. I will practice that. Thank you.
It. All right, guys. So I'll see you in 2 weeks for more of this good stuff. Thank you for coming. And Ruthie,
Need a
so listen to
headshot like this.
the. Hey, everybody. So I start all of my YouTube videos. So Ruthie, listen to the recording of this and get some of that language that I used. Yeah. Bye,
Thank
everybody.
you.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Christine. Thanks, everybody. Great session. See you next time.